Hey listeners, hey guys, it's good to be back here again talking some softball. Just a reminder again, you can find us at TopekaSportsPodcast.com, and of course on Facebook. We have a Facebook group, we have an Instagram page. Like us and follow us on there. And again, just to listen to the podcast, you can come on the website and choose one of the platforms, Apple, Google, Spotify, or just a few. Go ahead, Butch. Yeah, we're kind of in the middle of the summer. It's been kind of hard to meet up every week like we thought we were going to.
Seems we're busy.
We're busy. We got a lot to talk about, I feel like, but just tough. I mean, busy schedules and, yeah. So what do you want to cover today? What do you want to talk about?
So actually, you know, I want to talk about a bunch of different things. Maybe let's talk about the rest of the tournament schedule for Topeka. Our next tournament is August 1st. That's actually open state. So it's for USA softball class B and C teams to qualify them for nationals. Their roster is official. If D and E teams play in it because they're chasing points, and by the way, their Worth Power Series points are actually, I guess I should say USA Softball Power Series, not affiliated with Worth as much as it used to be. But anyway, double points for Power Series and Monster Challenge. So anyway, we want the D and E teams that want to play up. That's just paper roster. It does not make you a C team if you play in that, or, you know, it's not like an E team that plays in that is now a C team. So, and it does not screw up their berth and classification for the rest of the year. It's just a tournament to play in. So anyway, we hope that teams consider playing that. We've got 7 entered right now, and we want to get to 10 at least. So we had 8 last year.
Should be a good tournament. Again, yeah, just for local teams or teams that want to play, it's a good place to get points if you're chasing USA points. And even locally, we're running it as part of the Monster Challenge as well. So that'd be another place that people could chase points if they're chasing those points.
Yeah. And then on August 8th, we've got another Monster Challenge for D&E teams. And then the 22nd, and then there's a tournament in September. But and we'll probably, Judd, you're going to be adding some before then, right?
Look, yeah, I'm sure I'll add a few. There'd even be the weekend after the 22nd. That's the 29th, which isn't necessarily the weekend right prior to Labor Day. So we could run something there. One you didn't mention was the 15th. You want to talk?
Yeah, so August 15th here in town is a factory tournament, but there is the last Midwest Conference qualifying tournament in Sturgis, Michigan, and that's actually where the conference championships are held too. So teams that want to play in that, maybe we'll make that a Monster Challenge because we are down a few, got COVID-19 out. They didn't get rained out. They didn't get snowed out. They got COVIDed out. So we might actually make that a Monster Challenge. Since we're the executive directors of that.
Yeah.
Right?
We could make an executive decision on that.
Yeah. So Josh Bano is the contact for that. So maybe we can get you that
phone number. I haven't even asked, but is that Sturgis is playing now?
Yeah.
They're good.
No. So the park director opened it up to weekend tournaments.
Oh, wow.
But they're not playing league ball.
Interesting.
And I don't know if they will be. They might have a fall league. He doesn't know.
I know we have a few church league players that would have played league there if they would have been able to. But last I asked him, he said, which was just Monday night, he said, no, we have not played any games there. So that makes sense, I guess.
Next thing that I kind of want to chat about is the USA Softball of Indiana Men's D North State. That's coming up in Kokomo. It's actually this weekend. 15 teams, they're all solid. That's going to be a great tournament. There are good teams that could go 0-2 in that. That's a really good tournament. So that'll be interesting. And then the South State for E is in Bedford. That's a little bit of a drive. But there are 12 teams in that right now, 12 or 13, something like that. We have one team going down. The Outcasts are going down. Speaking of the Outcasts, they put together a good tournament last weekend.
Yeah, that was kind of cool. Good for them to kind of come out and show up right before state. Hopefully they tear it up at state as well.
That's an E team that won a D and E combined. So that was impressive.
Yeah, personally, I've never actually been down to Bedford, so I don't even know what diamonds they're playing at, but I know it's a little bit of a drive down there.
So, funny thing about Bedford, and I always ask the tournament director, the guy that runs that, a friend of mine, Gary Dorsett, I always ask him if they've changed their the school name. It's so funny. So the elementary school sits right in front of the entrance by the park. You have to drive. I guess they maybe use the same entrance, but you have to drive past the school. It's called Stalker Elementary. I'm like, Gary, you've got to change the name of this. You've got to change the name of your elementary school. So funny. I think maybe my niece is going to be teaching there this year. Oh, I'm not sure, but yeah, I think she might be. But anyway. Yeah.
So we've got D North State and E South State.
Yep. That's coming up this weekend. Open State in Topeka is August 1st. So, yep. And then, yeah. So that kind of wraps up what's coming up. Now I want to talk a little bit, if you don't mind, about the last two big ones that were in the recent past. So let's go with the 4th of July tournament.
So these would be USA tournaments, correct?
Yep.
Some of the big ones that we held.
And these tournaments, so the 4th of July, as teams know or might know, hopefully know, that's combined. It's Class B and below. And then the XKE is the next weekend, always. And that's combined. See, Jim Markland is the tournament director, and he gets... You know, usually gets 30 teams, maxes it out. Sometimes he has a waiting list. But that's combined, too. And, you know, sometimes you end up wondering why would an E team want to play against these guys that are Class B and, you know, they practically have bats named after them. Maybe not that high a level, but they're clearly really good players. Well, my answer to that is they weren't always. They weren't always these great players. And like Judd told me, I think the first time that you guys ever played in that, you beat a really good team. Mm-hmm. First time, you know, first game. So you never really know what's going to happen. And I think you need to play in some of those games, in some of those tournaments. Nothing should always be combined, but I think you need some combined to see if you can hang with those guys. And then after that, I think it's kind of weird how they're in the middle of the season, so you play your own class in tournaments leading up to those, and then you have those that are combined, and then you have pretty much the rest of the year where everything's mostly separated. We run some local stuff that's for D&E teams, but it's not CD&E. Well, I guess Open State is, but that's a little bit different. I think if you always just play in tournaments where you're in your own class, it's kind of like in league before we had a first half and a second half. If you're in the wrong division all year, you might win everything, and other teams are going to be like, why aren't you up where you belong? If you get beat all year, that's not fun either. So I think you need to play in some combined stuff just to see what you can do and what, you know. Anyway, that's what I think.
sometimes just like that year, that first year, that we played at the XKE, we went on to win a state. I believe it was actually an NSA, but we did better right. that we were better that year than what we thought.
Right. Right. And you know, yeah. So you know, look, man, if you're a D team or any class team, and you run through everything or half the time, do you really get pushed? If you're a D team and you're playing against teams classified higher, you will learn that you can't take any innings off and expect to win. But if you're playing against other D teams that aren't as good as you, you can take some innings where you don't score, where you don't have as much intensity, and you don't have as many good quality at-bats, and still win. You haven't really learned anything because you know that you can skate by on a few innings. But if you're playing against better competition, you will find out that it hurts you to not be focused all the time. And, you know, so I think it's important. Nobody wants to go 0-2, and with social media and stuff like that, everybody can see what everybody else is doing. But does it really matter what other people think? To me, it doesn't, but I'm 55-ish, so.
Obviously, I mean, not to get too into your career, but I know you always pushed yourself. I mean, even once you got to the upper levels, you always wanted to push yourself. Who can we beat, and how can we do against this team? Or even one thing you always have told me is, you know, let's beat this team by 30 runs so that they remember us and they're scared of us next time. I mean, that's
right.
Yeah.
And speaking of, this is kind of weird. I just kind of popped into my brain. Probably the highest level I ever played, and I'm not saying I was an A player, but I played A ball, played on an A team. We were at A Nationals, and for some reason, our field was just quiet for a few seconds. I don't know. And I heard the PA announcer announced that Carl Rose is up next on the field next to us. And it's kind of actually sad because he just passed away a few days ago, or maybe just yesterday. But yeah, he was a good dude, and I'm not sure what happened. But anyway, yeah, so our condolences go out to his family. But back to the point of, I think if you play against better competition sometimes, and that kind of goes to the point of in league, I think the teams that come through Topeka get better more quickly is because in league, they want to play up, right? Mm-hmm. Teams come to you, and Judd usually makes out the schedules. They're much more likely to say, we want to play up. So a middle team says, yeah, we want to play upper next this fall or next spring because, yeah, basically league matters, but not as much. And it makes them better. There's no two ways about it. Right now, Rock runs maybe, I don't know, 2-6. And they ran into Silverback the other week. I usually supervise on Thursday, and they got beat the one game kind of quickly, but then the next game they scored some more runs, and it's all just a growing learning process. It's not a get-rich-quick scheme. It's working hard, and hopefully most of your guys on the team buy in to that process, because you can always play as low a level as possible and clean house, but have you really accomplished anything?
Yeah, I remember texting their captain or two of their captains or something and telling them, hey, I think I'm gonna maybe need you guys to play upper. And they're like, you sure? And I said, yeah, I can tell you guys are ready. And I think, you know, you can't look at the record sometimes. You got to look at what your enthusiasm is in playing ball. And it seems like you said, teams want to come and play. We don't want to play lower. We want to play middle, or we don't want to play middle two. We want to play middle one. Right. They're always pushing themselves.
And isn't the middle divisions, didn't you kind of put them into certain classes just because of ease of scheduling?
Somewhat. This year I did more than normally.
Yeah. Because there are some quality teams in middle three. We have three different middle divisions, and middle three has some quality teams in it, and middle two does too. So some of that is just ease of scheduling. So there's a bigger jump between lower and middle to upper than there is from one middle division to the next.
Correct. Yeah, most of those middle teams, I mean, really could be two divisions.
It's just we have an abundance of teams, and we love it, and we appreciate it, and we want them all back, but heck yeah. All right, so yeah, and I think, yeah, back to our original point about playing in some tournaments where everything's combined, and I think that gets people ready for the postseason. And then where everything's obviously separated, and that's what we want. We want people to have success in the postseason. So I think it works. So, all right. So kind of the next thing I wanted to talk about, if you guys don't mind, is I guess just kind of being smart about how you win. I stopped playing in about 2005, coached a team for a while, and then, you know, we adopted Brady, and we raised him, and he was in all kinds of different sports, and now he took this season off in baseball, so we had more free time, and I told my wife, I'm going to play ball. And he can come watch me play. I see parents of his age group take their kids from one sport to the next. I mean, we're talking, you know, there's in-season soccer and out-of-season soccer and fall baseball and summer baseball and spring baseball and basketball, and there's all kinds of stuff. I said, you know, and I'm watching these other parents just sit there and watch your kid play, and I told myself, why wouldn't a kid feel entitled if his parents always just come and watch him? I said, you know what? He can come watch me play. So I'm playing again. And one of the things I forgot how much I appreciated is players that make small adjustments at the plate if they struggled in one at-bat or two in a row. I kind of forgot about how that works. And I think I've talked on other podcasts about the three people that probably influenced me the most, and that's Jay Great, Dennis Gehrke, and Dave Seibel. Those guys talked about making small adjustments. So if you miss hit a ball or you feel you were out in front, just little stuff like 3 inches farther up in the box or an inch closer to the plate, just little stuff that I kind of forgot that those guys almost never had 3 miss hits in a row. That's amazing if you think about it. Yeah. So anyway, I want you to, so, you know, because when we first started, I mean, I started playing ball in 81, and we didn't take much batting practice. We just played. And then as we got more serious and better towards the late 80s and into the 90s and did a lot of traveling and stuff, we took more BP. But half the time, we were all just a bunch of buddies, and we just hit in batting practice. Didn't really work on because, yeah, the bats started getting stupid. But now a kid that's 6 feet, 120 can hit a bomb with decent bat speed. So you have to break down. I'm watching these tournaments like the 4th of July and the XKE where you got 5 home runs. So you have to be able to either break down early in the game or break down late in the game. And so you have to make adjustments and you have to hit the opposite field and you have to, yeah. I mean, the difference between hitting a home run and a ground ball is about an inch on the ball. So, you know, it's you have to work at it. So those little adjustments, I guess, a player can make or not make depending on his success.
So, Butch, talking about making adjustments and what you've done, where would you say some of these teams are now? And even like seeing, have teams or players progressively gotten better over the past few years? Or I shouldn't even say the past few, in your career of playing?
I think they are better younger than they were 10, 15 years ago and longer. I mean, we had Bruce Mast in here as a guest, and he didn't even start playing until he was 18.
Right.
These guys are playing starting, you know, some of them start at 15, some of them 16. The kids that are not Amish, they, you know, some of them play before they're out of high school, but most of them. And I'm looking here at DNR Miller Concrete's roster and Silverback. I mean, there are some really young guys. Derek Lambright from DNR is only 19, and his younger brother Terry plays for Silverback. So that's kind of I wonder if they talk to each other at home. They might.
Maybe they don't. I'm kind of curious. I wonder, is that age correct? Because
I think this is the year they were 18 on January 1st. I think that's how it works. Yeah. I think Terry's now 19. Yeah, he was 18. So these I just printed their roster off of online. Derek is probably, I can't see his date of birth, but he was 19 on January 1st. Five guys from Silverback was 18 on January 1st. So Terry Lambright, Galen Miller, Jeremy Slayball, who has always mashed the ball, Aaron Yoder, and Carlin Yoder were all 18 on January 1st. I think they're all 19 by now if I did some quick math. But these guys are way better than we were at 18 and 19 years old. It's amazing. But
I was talking with Terry, and he told me they've won like 6 or 7 tournaments to note and like 2 others locally. And you know, I don't think they've lost this year in a tournament. I mean, as far as they haven't lost the tournament, they've gotten first every single time. So maybe they're playing below their level. I don't know.
Wow.
Going back to what you were talking about earlier.
Let's talk a little bit about their run through the 4th of July tournament. So they beat our pod on Friday night, and then they played DNR and won a close game. And then, so that was actually a 1-run game, and I think like 9 innings. And then on Saturday the 4th, they beat Ellie Road by 1. And then they beat Blackies in the Winners Bracket Championship. They won that game by 8. And then they beat Street Kids in the championship. I mean, that's 21 and under. They're all 21 and under, and they are just the kids of today. Even Cedar Creek, they're all 15 and 16. They're all better than a generation ago at the same age. There is no question. No question. And I think we should also mention, you know, if we're going to talk about Topeka teams making a run through the tournament, we got to mention DNR. That was a bigger tournament at the XKE than what Silverback did. So
bigger, especially big, as in even amount of teams, yeah. Probably.
I don't know if it was more good teams as far as that had a legit shot at winning it because the 4th of July was loaded, but it was more teams where, you know, if you trip up early in the winner's bracket, it's a long way back. But so on Friday night, they beat a team called Glazer and Ebbs out of Fort Wayne, 24-7. And then they beat another local team from Fort Wayne, 14-4. Then they beat the Street Kids, 20-16. Then, you know, after that, there were no more slouches. They beat Dickie's, Jesse Bates' team, 27-16. Then they beat Plumbers. Plumbers guys probably don't want to talk about that score. DNR just mashed the ball.
Back up just a little bit. You mentioned Street Kids in their third game, and then you said there was no more slouches after that. I'd be careful because I wouldn't say that Street Kids is a bad team. I think they're very. I mean, they got second.
Yeah, I meant. You didn't.
I just wanted to clear that up there.
I think they know that. I don't think they're a slouch. I'm talking about. Sometimes in first rounds, sometimes you can get a second round game that's not, they aren't upper level teams. But yeah, after the Flips detailing game, which was their second, was everybody's good.
Yeah,
after their
for sure.
So yeah, they beat the Street Kids 20-16, and then Dickies. JB3, 27-16, and then the Plumbers, and then they played LSR and actually lost the first championship game, 22-14, and then they came back and won the second championship game. They scored 24 in that. So they put up a bunch of runs. But they kept it in the park enough to put up a bunch of runs. And the top five in that tournament was DNR, LSR, Plumbers, Dickies, Blackies, and Buzzes. Those last two mentioned were tied for fifth. So there were a lot of good teams that got ninth and seventh.
Wow, that sounds like a pretty loaded tournament as well. A lot of good teams there.
Definitely. So... yeah, it's there. I mean, just clearly so many more good young players than ever before.
And even, you've told me this, Butch, but even like I think it was Arliss Miller from Silverbacks this year said something about what do you think about level of play the last few years in upper league? And I won't comment too much on that. My only comment to him was I think you're just better than you used to be. I mean, you looked at it at 14, you were like, wow, that does some crazy good players, and now you're one of those crazy good players.
So keep working on your
my encouragement to young players is like, don't give up. If you want to get there, keep working at it.
Yeah.
Make those little adjustments like you mentioned. And
So I want to talk a little bit about DNR and their roster and how they kind of appreciate how they go about their business. I mean, geez, oh, Pete, when I watch them play, I mean, they've got three guys, their first three batters. It's Kenny Fry and then Aaron, his brother, and then Joe Nisley. They call him Yogi. I look at them as three leadoff hitters in a row. Most people don't have one good leadoff hitter. These guys have three.
Right.
And then in their middle infield, they've got three guys that you could seriously interchange. They're all about built the same way, the same height. It's kind of interesting how they're like an engine that just runs. Very good team. I think Jesse Yoder is a really solid ball player. He's only 20 years old. That's amazing. Or 2021, somewhere in there. You go down their roster, I mean, it's one solid player after another. Not very many weak links at all. Well, let's just say it how it is. None. No weak links. I think Josh Chupp is really, really having a lot of good at-bats. I hope these guys can keep it going. I think the Silverback team definitely will, but I hope DNR is right there with them. Everybody, you were saying Silverback hasn't lost a tournament that they're in. They're really good. It's not like Silverback is sandbagging. they're good, and so is DNR. So I hope both of these teams can keep rolling.
talking a little bit there just about Silverback. What, 2 years ago, they won a Nationals E, so, and they're winning C state stuff this year. So, exactly right. I mean, they've taken the steps, and they're just really, really good.
I think one of the things that, so there's a difference between the two teams. DNR, when you walk, let's say you pull into the parking lot and they're playing and the score is 19-8. You don't know if they're ahead or behind. Mm-hmm. They just go about their business, and they're, you know, if they're down 19-8, it's probably not very long, but they really just go about their business and they're never beat. They just go. Now, the Silverback's a little bit different. They have a couple of guys that I think every team needs some of that, or a lot of teams need, or they feed off of it. I'm not saying that DNR needs this, but because it definitely works for them. But one of the things that Silverback has, I think their pitcher does a good job of this, and maybe their third baseman, they have some guys that if somebody makes a nice play, those guys get fired up and the rest of the team feeds off of that. That's like if half of the Silverbacks were like that, I don't think it would actually work. But if you have a few guys like that and the rest of the team fires up with them, you know, it's like, here they come. Here they come. And, you know, but obviously DNR really doesn't need those types of players. They just get fired up by each other, not verbally, just you know, mentally knowing. Obviously, they make those little adjustments because they don't have a lot of crap at-bats. So everybody knows. I don't think Davey Schwartz has to do a lot of coaching.
It's like, you know, you can do it. You know, it's you personally making that small adjustment at the plate.
Yeah.
And I think it just shows that you're a little, usually it shows that the age, I mean, you're mentally a little bit more prepared, or in a sense, I guess, kind of playing in your prime, maybe you could say.
You know, DNR's got a lot of good infielders. I mean, shoot, I think Kenny Fry plays right field for sometimes, and they've got a good infielder catching sometimes. So, and Silverback, same way. I mean, they've got so many good players that are interchangeable. So, anyway, these are two teams that we talked about this week. It's not like nobody else in Topeka is any good. And maybe we'll talk about some of those other teams next time we do a podcast.
Yeah. So, thanks for listening, guys. I really hope some of you local guys listen to this one. It'll be interesting to see what you guys have to think and say. Yeah, good talking again, Butch. Hope we'll try to get this next one knocked out a little bit sooner. So,
yeah, sounds good. Thanks.
All right, we'll see you.